Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Hey, before we get started, I saw something on the news this week, and I'm just going to take about 2 minutes and do this. I need everybody to get out their phones, because you all have them. Don't say you don't. Get out your cell phones, and if you have Facebook, especially, open Facebook on your phone right now, because I saw something, and it's going to be kind of dangerous, and so I feel like it's been kind of my job to take care of you guys. So if you have your phone, open Facebook and get ready to, you need to write something in the heading, okay? I read this online. It said, better safe than sorry. Facebook is changing their privacy policy. And so what you need to do is stop. Okay, hold on. Oh, TJ tells me that is not true. Okay, sorry. So, and scene. Honestly, how many of you have put that in your Facebook status? Come on, be bold. No. Be bold. How many of you have made fun of people who put it in their Facebook status? Be bold. Be bold. Okay. Yeah. It's not true, by the way. It doesn't happen. But it's funny. I have discovered recently, you'll be shocked to hear this, there are things on the internet that aren't true. I don't know if you knew that. But it's fascinating. Like we are entering into. It's funny. We're kind of entering into like a season. I hope it's just a season, but it's a new phase of life in our country and around the world, where it's like you have one group of people who intentionally want to trick people and deceive them and you know, say this kind of stuff. I don't know if it's to be funny or maliciously. You know, you get these weird emails and you know you kind of turn your filter on, like that might not be true. But we're also entering into a season where like actual truth, like facts, like what is real. Like nobody agrees anymore on like what's real. You know, you go to One News Network and they have their set of facts, and you go to One News Network and they have their set of facts. And there's like there's no fact anymore. There's no truth. And so what we've decided to do is kind of do a series kind of about this idea, right? Because in the real world, there are actually some answers to these myths, to these urban legends. There are websites that have popped up, and again, people even argue over the websites. But there are websites that have popped up whose entire purpose is to kind of dispel these myths, to dispel the Facebook thing and dispel the other stuff. One of them is very popular. It's called Snopes.com. Snopes.com, what they kind of do is they take, you know, news stories or like the Facebook stories that aren't true or you know, like that forward your grandma sends, you know, and you read it and you're like, that can't be true. Well, there's these websites like Snopes.com and Fact Checkers and all that where you could go. And what they do is they kind of like dig down and they say, okay, where did this originate? And they kind of explain to you in an article, okay, yeah, this is true or yeah, no, this isn't true. You shouldn't listen to that. You should ignore that. And, you know, people don't always agree on what's true or what's not true, but at least it's there, right? Because like I'm convinced that truth really matters, and like what the truth is really matters, and like we want to know what, we want to be accurate, we want to know what's really real in the world, because that's how we make real decisions, and that's how we actually know how to move forward, right? Well, that's kind of in the real world, but I want to bring it to the church world, to the spiritual world, right? Not just to out there, not just the news and all that. Because I've been in ministry now for over 15 years. And the same problem you, if you admitted it, or some of your friends or some of your family members have on Facebook, where they like get confused by something and then they take action, I believe that's been happening in the church for 2,000 years. I believe there are people, probably sitting in this room, people you know, people you care about, who have taken steps and have done things in God's name, or have decided to leave faith because of something they think God said. And the problem is, he didn't say it. And he didn't do it. But they don't know the difference, because they don't know where to go to find out what is true and what is untrue about God. So, what we've decided to do for the next few weeks is we're going to jump into a series that we're calling, I'm not going to say it the way you want me to say it. Oh, no, he didn't. Not going to say it the other way. Just not going to let that be on video. It's not happening. Nope. But we're doing a series called, Oh, No, He Didn't. And here's why. Here's why. It's because I'm convinced that you have friends, you have family members, maybe even you yourself. Maybe you're here today, you don't believe in God, and somebody like tricked you into coming to church. If they did that, good job. And so, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. I think people every day walk away from God over things God never said. Things that somebody told them God said. Things that they've heard espoused to God. And so what I wanted to do is I want to kind of have everybody take a step back, right? And if you're here today and you don't believe in God anymore, and you, again, you're here because somebody invited you, or if you're here today and you're kind of on the fence, like you believe in God a little bit, but you don't kind of believe in God, you're not really sure, and there's just some things about God that you don't like, and there's some things that you've heard God said, and they kind of rub you the wrong way, and you're not really sure what to do. Here's what I want you to do today. And for the next few weeks, I want you to simply open your mind just a little bit. Not all the way, but just a little bit, okay? And be open to this question. What if your ideas about God didn't come from God? What if the very things that you're thinking about, the very things you're wrestling with, the very things that are pushing you away from God did not originate with God, and they did not come from Him? I'm not saying you have to change your mind about God. I'm not saying that, you know, you're gonna like give your life to Jesus and all that. I'm just saying, wouldn't you want to know if your ideas about God didn't actually come from God? Wouldn't that make a difference in this, what I believe is an eternal decision? Now, I am not saying that God doesn't say hard things. I'm not saying believing in God is easy. I think believing in God is very, very difficult. God wants us to believe that a grown 33-year-old man was beaten, was nailed to a tree, and died. And later, he came back to life. And that's a prerequisite. You have to believe that. My point is, that's hard enough. We don't need to make it any harder. And that's what I think happens to people. People hear things, people read things, people understand things, and you know, they start to conflate what God actually said with what grandma said or what Uncle Carl said, and we kind of get it all messed up. So what I wanted to do today is I want to try to give you a framework. I want to talk about what I believe is a spiritual Snopes.com. It is a place we can go and we can know with 100% certainty and with 100% accuracy whether the things we think God said, He actually said. And this thing you're going to be amazed by, it's going to be fantastic. This thing is called the Bible. And some of you are like, come on. I thought it was going to be like JesusSnopes.com. No. But you know what? Hey, TJ, TM, JesusSnopes.com. We should start it. All right. That'd be great. But no, the Bible, we believe, I can't even say as Christians because Christians believe different things about the Bible. Wellspring Church, we believe that the Bible is a gift to humanity from God and that it contains everything God wants us to know about Him. Notice I didn't say everything about God because God is infinite, God is big. We could never write a book that contains everything that God is. And everything He knows. But we believe that the Bible contains everything He wants us to know about God. Specifically, if God actually said it, we can go to a Bible, we can find it somewhere, we can read it. And we can cite it. Which also means if we can't find it in there, He never said it. Now, the reason I believe that isn't because it works perfectly with my sermon today. The reason I believe that is because there's this man, his name is Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. Paul was an early convert to Christianity. He became a pastor. He became a leader. Paul would actually, he was a church planner like me. He would go around and start new churches, but Paul was different. I started a church, and I want to be here for the rest of my life. Paul would start a church, and he'd be like, y'all are good, and he'd go start another one. Jesus, please don't ask me to do that. And then what Paul would do is Paul would write those churches letters to give them instructions. And what we believe is that God was moving through Paul when Paul wrote those letters and that we can read them now almost 2,000 years later. And we know what God wants us to do with our life. Well, one of the letters Paul wrote actually wasn't to a church. One of the letters Paul wrote was to a guy named Timothy. He actually wrote two letters to Timothy. Timothy was his protege. Timothy had started his own church. And Timothy would ask Paul questions. And in 2 Timothy, Paul addresses a question that Timothy had asked. And here was the question. Timothy had noticed that there were people who had started to say things that God didn't say. Kind of like 2,000 years later. But it was even worse then, because what was happening was people were realizing that this Christianity thing was so brand new, and it was kind of, it was literally like 40, 50 years old. And so what they would do is they were kind of taking little bits of Jesus, little bits of the Old Testament, they were including kind of their own opinions, and they were using it to make money. Can you believe that? Can you believe people would do that? But they were. 2,000 years ago, they were trying to convince people to do things, and they were trying to profit themselves. And so Timothy goes, dude, Paul, what do I do? What do I do? Because I've got these people coming to my church, I've got these people trying to follow Jesus, and I've got these people out here telling them things that God never said. And it's confusing them, and they're making decisions about God that they shouldn't make. They're making it based on things he didn't say. What do I do? I think it's the same question we ask now, 2,000 years later. How do I know the difference? How do I know if God really said this, if God really said that, if this is really what God means? How do I know? Where do we go to get the answer? And Paul tells us, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, here is what Paul says in response to what do we do? How do we know what's true? Here's what he says. You must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. He's talking to Timothy. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. He's saying, look, all these things you're hearing, all these things, all these new things, you've got to compare them to something. You've got to hold them up to something. And he's saying to Timothy, you need to just remember what you've been taught. And you know you can trust that because you know you can trust the people who taught you. What he's really saying, and what I would challenge you to do today, with all the thoughts you have about God, consider the source. Consider the source. Where did that idea come from? Because what Paul's pointing out to Timothy is he's saying, hey, Timothy, you have to consider the source here. And for Paul, there's only one source, because he says, hey, remember the things you've been taught. You can trust the ones who taught you. In the next verse, he explains why you can trust them. It's because he says this. He says, you have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood. And they, not mama, they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. What Paul's saying is saying, Timothy, you got to consider the source. You got to go back to the source. Go back to the things your mom taught you as you were growing up. Go back to the things I've taught you. Go back to the Holy Scriptures. Go back to, for them at the time, it was the Old Testament. Go back to that and compare what they're saying to that. And if you can't find it there, it's not true. And then Paul does something amazing. Paul kind of steps back and he kind of explains. He basically kind of gives us a whole belief system about the Bible, right? And explains to me and you why it's so valuable and why it's so important, especially in a world where truth has become so relative and where we argue over facts. Paul says, this is the answer. Return to the Bible. Return to what you've been taught. Here's why. Verse 16. Because all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, that was a lot. That was a lot of stuff. So what I want to do is I kind of want to go back and I want to break that down, okay? Because I promise you, if you can get this today, if you can get this, you will have a framework where you will never have to wonder again whether or not God said something. You will know exactly what to do and exactly how to figure it out. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're going to find out God said it. You're going to be like, oh, I was hoping he didn't say that. He did. He did. It's your job to obey it. But sometimes you're going to find, oh, he didn't say that. Whew. Oh, it's so much better. Right? But here's what matters. Here's why the Bible's so important, and here's why we should make such a big deal about it. This is what Paul says. He says, look, all scripture is inspired by God. Now, the word there, I don't do this often, but it kind of matters here. The Greek word there actually means God breathed. That all scripture is God-breathed. Comes from the mouth of God. Now, that doesn't mean that God picked up the phone and was like, yo, Paul, take a memo. Now, actually, if you read the Old Testament, if you read prophecy in the Old Testament, they actually use quotes, and that does mean that God was like, Jeremiah, take a memo. This is what I want you to say, dog. And he just quoted it. Jeremiah was like, yes, sir, got it, done. And he said it verbatim. But what we believe is that in all things, right, all 66 books that we have of the Bible, all 66 books written by 40 different authors over the span of 2,000 years, all of them, God was at work behind them as they wrote it. A great example. There's this man named Luke. He was a doctor. He was a historian. He was a friend of Paul. He writes two books in the New Testament. He writes the third biography we have of Jesus' life called the Book of Luke. Very original naming. And then he wrote the Book of Acts because he couldn't call it Luke 2, Electric Boogaloo. And so, like that. So Luke and Acts, right? And he says right up front, look, I didn't see these things happen. Well, then in Acts he did, but in Luke, I didn't know Jesus personally. So I've gone and I've interviewed every eyewitness I could find, and I have compiled a history for you, the people who are seeking God, so you can know who Jesus was. Now, what we as Christians, and especially we at Wellspring, believe is that God was at work in that through Luke, and that Luke wrote down every word he wanted him to write down. And anything he didn't want him to write down, he didn't. And the Bible as we have it was completed about the end of the first century. It wasn't compiled and codified until 367 AD. Again, what we as Wellspring believe is that God was at work over that almost 300 years. That he was at work making sure the books that should remain, remain. Making sure the books that shouldn't, shouldn't. And in 367 AD, they came together, they prayed, and they said, this is what we believe are the scriptures. So when Paul says all scripture is inspired by God, he didn't just mean the Old Testament. I know it'll be easy to think that because you're like, but how can Paul talk about himself? Well, there's actually another place in the book of Peter. Peter was a really great follower of Jesus. He actually refers to Paul's letters as scripture. He does it. And so it was very clear from the very beginning that they held these words from Jesus' apostles, these men who lived with Jesus. They held them with authority and they knew they were inspired by God. So there's a very strong tradition of that. So anyway. What that means is that all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture comes from God. Now, let me just stop. If you're here today and you don't believe in God, if you're here today and you have questions about God, if you're here today and you have questions about your faith or all that, let me help you. I don't expect you to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I don't expect you to trust the Bible. I don't expect you to just have blind faith and accept the Bible is what it says is. And I don't because Paul didn't. Paul didn't say, Timothy, believe the Bible because I said so. He said, Timothy, go back to your roots. He said, Timothy, consider the source. You've been taught this your entire life. You know you can trust it because you can trust those who've taught you. You know you can trust it because you've lived it. You know you can trust it because you've experienced it. You know you can trust it because of what Paul's about to say. He says, all scripture is inspired by God, and look at this, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. We don't believe the Bible is true because the Bible says so. We don't believe the Bible is true because Paul says so. I believe the Bible is true because I've been taught it for 36 years of my life, because I've lived it out in my life, and it's better when I do what it says. That's why I believe the Bible is true. And that is why, hopefully, someday, you will believe the Bible is true as well. But to ask you today, with your questions and your concerns, and with no experience about God, to just say, you know what, this is true, you better accept it, is ridiculous. And listen to me, I know some of you have walked away from faith because you were a part of churches that said that, and I am very sorry. I moved halfway across the country to start a church so that you wouldn't have to believe that anymore. Because it's not true. I'm getting ahead of myself again. I have to stop. But do you understand? So he's saying, hey, go back to the Bible. That book you know is true because you've applied its principles to your life. You've listened to it. You've done what it said, and you've experienced that it is better. That's what he's saying. And there's a reason why we need to come to that conclusion. There's a reason why we need to learn to trust the Bible, that we need to allow it to guide us. And that reason is this. It's because God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now don't miss those words. God uses it. God uses the Bible. God uses the scriptures to prepare and equip his people. You know what we're doing right now? We're preparing and equipping you. You know what I do every Sunday? I prepare and equip you. And you know what I use as the basis of everything I say to you? The Bible. Because as I say all the time, you should not and do not care my opinion. It doesn't matter. It's not my job to tell you my opinion. It's my job to tell you what God says and to help you understand how to apply it to your life, period. That's my job. My job is to make it accessible. My job is to make it appealing. My job is to make it engaging. My job is to make it inviting. But my job is to partner with God to take what his word says and to help prepare and equip his people to do what? Every good work. Don't miss that. To do everything. Every step God's ever going to give you in your life, every idea, every conviction, everything, what Paul's saying, comes from the Bible. God uses it to equip his people to do everything, which means there's not anything you need to know about God that's not contained in his word. Theologians have a fancy phrase for this. They call it the sufficiency of scripture. It is sufficient. You do not need any outside input about God. Everything he ever wanted you to know about him is contained within his word. It is sufficient. It is complete. Which, take a step back, means if you think God said it and it's not contained within his Bible, he did not. And you should not believe it. So, let's take a step back for a minute. Because I know that was a lot. It's a lot to process. It's a lot to grapple with. So what I want to do quickly is I want to give you a couple of examples of some things that we tend to believe, that we tend to be taught, that God never said. Some of them were in the bumper. One of them that you hear people say and tend to believe that God said is that God helps those who help themselves. No. Now, you use it to justify pushing that person out of your way in line at Costco. God helps those that help themselves. Yeah. No, he doesn't. God helps those that help themselves is actually an ancient Greek proverb that some people say was even translated into the Quran, so there you go. But no, it ain't biblical. Nowhere did God say it, so stop believing it. The second one that we tend to believe, especially like if you went to college, you took religion classes, or if you've got some friends who are like deep thinkers, you may have heard the argument that, I just believe that, God's at the top of the mountain, and, we all have different paths up the mountain, but as long as we are sincere in our pursuits of truth and God, that we'll all meet each other at the top of the mountain with God. I hope my tone is making clear how ridiculous that is. I don't know if you've noticed, but my shirt has a picture of Jesus on it, and it says, "I never said that," is what it says. Jesus never said that. In fact, if you read the scriptures, specifically the New Testament, specifically the Gospel, specifically the book of John, in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I, not the path, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So he's pretty clear that all paths don't lead anywhere. But it sounds better, doesn't it? Oh, it sounds so inviting. It sounds so engaging. It sounds so kind. Trey, it's mean. It's mean. No, it is not. If someone's drowning, it's not mean to explain to them, "You're drowning. Let me help you." If someone's standing in the middle of the road and there's a freight truck coming, it ain't mean to say, "Get out the way." It's mean not to. Did you hear that? It's mean Now, please, I'm not saying go get a bullhorn and go to Broadway at the beach. Please don't do that. And if you do, please don't wear a Wellspring shirt. Please don't. That is not how we roll. No. There's grace and truth, and there's a way to present it. There's a way to prepare it. But I'm telling you, God never said, hey, as long as you're sincere, it's not what he says. He says, I gave you my son, and I made it very clear. He is the way. Now, I know for some of you in the room, when I make those jokes, you kind of push back. And the reason you push back is because of the third myth I want to talk about today. I want to expand this one a little bit. It's because you were brought up in a tradition, or you experienced a church, or you had friends, or you had parents who kind of pushed you in a way that made you uncomfortable. They made Jesus too difficult for you, quite frankly. They made him too difficult. And the reason they made him too difficult is because of what I'm about to put up on the screen. Now, you may not phrase it this way, but you have experienced this at some point in your life, and you believe God said it. And I'm telling you, he didn't say it, all right? God never said this. God never said, before you can believe anything, you must accept everything. He never said it. But here's what that looks like. That looks like, well, before I can give my life to Jesus, I have to ignore all of science, and I have to decide the earth is 6,000 years old, and that the Flintstones was real, and that people and dinosaurs lived together, and I have to believe that there really was a man named Moses who talked to a bush that was on fire, and I have to believe a man named Jonah, like, lived in the belly of a whale for 3 days, and I have to believe all these things from the Old Testament that you find confusing. You know, I read the story of David, and it sounds like they introduced David 3 different times, and that's confusing to me, but the Bible's right, so I'm just supposed to accept it. And, like, you've created all these barriers. By the way, I believe all that stuff I just said. Just don't knock it. But I believed it after Jesus. I need you to hear that. The only requirement for you to become a Christian, the only requirement is that for you to believe Jesus is who he says he is, that he came to rescue you, that he died, and that he came back to life. That's it. And trust me, that's hard enough. That's difficult enough to believe a man died and came back to life. Church, let's stop making it harder. Okay? Let's just stop. And I know some of you are saying, well, now, I don't know. You got to have faith. I can prove my point. I can prove my point because our buddy Paul wrote another letter. This time he wrote a letter to the church in Rome. And they asked, how do you become a Christian? Because they had all these questions. And here's what Paul said, Romans 10:9. He says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, he is who he says he is, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the list. That's it. That's all you have to do. And so, specifically, if you are here today and you haven't put your faith in Jesus, you haven't taken that step because you can't work out all the other stuff. You can't work out the nation of Israel, and you've read a little bit and you know that there are archaeological evidence of a mass movement through the desert for 40 years. Like, you can't find it, and you know, you're not really sure that the walls of Jericho actually came down, and like, you think you have to have all that solved before you become a Christian. That's because you're believing this myth. You're believing that before you can believe anything, you must accept everything. And that's just not true. In fact, it's a lie. Jesus says the exact opposite. He says all you have to do to become a Christian, all you have to do to be saved is to be interested. Is to say, hey, you know, he sounds right. I believe he did that. And you know what? If he's God, I believe he could bring himself back to life. Certainly, if I believe he has the power to change my life, I have to believe he had the power to raise the dead. So yeah, man, I'm with you. I believe you. And I got a lot of questions. And Jesus is like, you know what? We have the rest of your life to answer those questions. I can't wait to strengthen your faith. But you don't have to have a strong, strengthened, fortified 30-year-old faith to become a Christian. You simply have to be interested. You simply have to say, I believe Jesus is who he says he is. And I believe he died and came back to life. And I want him to save me. That's it. So, for any of you in the room who have put off faith or who have left God or pushed God back because you thought you had to believe everything before you could accept anything, God never said it. In fact, he said the exact opposite. So stop believing things about God that he didn't say. And that's really where I want to end today. I want to bring you back to the question we started with. And for those of you in the room who have things about God you don't like, things you don't understand, things you want to push back on, things that just don't feel right to you, I want to ask you this simple question. What if your ideas about God didn't come from God? What if they're not his? What if he didn't say them? Don't you at least want to know? So what I want to challenge you to do this week is sit down and think about your thoughts on God. Think about the things that when they come up about God, it makes you feel a little icky. Like, I don't like that God does that. I don't believe that God. Now hear me. He may do it, but he may not. It may not be true. And it may turn out that you are basing an eternal decision, the most important decision of your life, on statements that are not true. And you don't have to do that anymore because we've been given a framework. We can go to the source. Because the only person that can speak for God is God, and God has spoken. It is done. It is finished. It is complete. We have it. And if your thoughts about God cannot be traced back to the Word of God, he didn't say them. And it's not fair to hold him accountable for something he didn't say. It's simply a misunderstanding. It's like when you and a friend get in a fight and you get mad at them because of something you think they said. Well, when you go to them, and they're like, yo, dog, I didn't say that. This is what I said. You go, oh, my bad. And you move on. You don't keep holding the grudge. What if today is the day God wants to begin drawing you back to him by helping to release you from some of the things you thought he said and he never said it? And the only way you'll know is to do what Paul told Timothy to do, to consider the source. So this week, that's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the things that you think about when you think about God. Wrestle with them. Hold them up to Scripture and say, do they fit? Get in your community groups and ask questions. Email friends. Email us. And then come back next week. I want you to come back next week, and I want you to bring your friends, because we are going to discuss a topic. We're going to discuss a saying that, in my opinion, does more damage to God and to the people who want to believe in God than just about anything else we say. And if you've said it, you said it with the best of intentions. You're not a bad person. You're a great person. And I'm going to actually tell you the phrase right now because I kind of want to mix it up a little bit. I want to stir up. I want you kind of like, I can't believe he said it. I got to go back next week and hear that. Exactly. So this week, consider the source. Next Sunday, when you come back here, we are going to discuss something that I contend God never said. And here it is. Everything happens for a reason. I heard it. Oh, everything happens for a reason. That's next week. That's next week. For this week, as we close, this week, real quick. What if your ideas about God, what if your ideas about God didn't come from God? Should you hold on to them? Should you consider the source? And if they're not true, should you let them go? And when you let those things go, does it change your view of God? And does it make you want to change your behavior in light of who God actually is? We hope so. That's why we're here. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we just thank you for how clear you are. We thank you for how patient, how loving you are. Father, I pray that right now our hearts will be opened, that our hearts will be clarified, that we'll be able to hear you clearly, that we'll be able to see you, that we'll be able to understand you. Father, I pray that we'll be open-handed with the things we believe about you, and that we'll bring them to you. We'll hold them up to you and to your word to see if they fit. Father, if they do fit, may we hold on to them. And if they're still difficult, may you change our hearts so that we can learn to trust you because of the experience we have of following you. And Lord, if they're not true, maybe let them go. Maybe be clear in who you are and clear in what you say and clear in what you do. And maybe be drawn to you. Father, may you set us free from these lies, from these traps that have been set for us by the enemy. And may we be drawn to you so that you can change our lives. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.